Hello, and welcome to Elephates in the Room, Elephates Weekly Podcast. Entering the room today is Rachel Costello, a technical SEO and author of white papers at DeepCrawl. She has spoken at Brighton SEO, and she's one of those creative types who turn technical and maybe turn back towards the creative as well. Listen as she dips into her well of weird facts. We find out which male character she has dressed up as, and we find out about her ability to understand my use of Nottingham slang. It's a fun one. So sit back and relax, find somewhere comfortable to be, and enjoy Elephates in the Room with Derek and Rachel. All right. So, hello, Rachel. Why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Hi. Thank you very much for having me along. So, my name's Rachel Costello, and I'm a technical SEO over at DeepCrawl. And for those of you who don't know, DeepCrawl is a website crawling platform dealing with kind of site issues, things like that. And I've been doing technical SEO for a couple of years now. I started off in the content and social media space, actually, which was surprising. I didn't know I'd go into that, but that's kind of how I got into SEO, by doing the content side of things, and then kind of saw all these exciting technical things going on around me, and basically just tried to train myself up on technical side, and then I haven't looked back really, and that's what I do. And now it's a combination of writing, speaking, and researching industry development. So I've gone back into the content side. It's kind of gone full circle, but with the mindset and the perspective of technical SEO.
It seems like a lot of the people we've had on the show that you didn't actually, it seems like you got into SEO almost on accident.
Yeah, that's the way it worked, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit more about what you do at DeepCrawl in just a moment, but let's go ahead and get started here with our first set of questions, our icebreakers. My first question for you is, what was your favorite item of clothing as a kid?
Wow, I had a strange, you probably wouldn't expect it, I had a strange goth phase as about a 12-year-old, so you can't really call it full-on goth. So I used to have these quite impressive, very baggy black jeans that had kind of chains on them. That's quite a strange look for a 12-year-old, I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah. But I grew up in Florida, and there was always a bit of a goth culture there for some reason.
Yeah.
So, I have seen the 12-year-olds in the big baggy black pants. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I used to think I was a bit of an Avril Lavigne wannabe, but no, I wasn't very cool.
That's okay. Neither was she. What's a weird fact that you happen to know?
A weird fact. Out of all the animals in the world, elephants are the only ones who can't jump. So there you go.
Wow.
A useless fact as well.
And you saved it for the Elephate in the Room podcast. I appreciate that.
Well, there you go. So. Isn't it perfect? Just for you.
Thank you. What is your favorite smell and why?
I think it's one of those ones that everyone weirdly likes. The smell of petrol is quite nice. And the kind of freshly cut grass as well. So you've got that industrial smell and then a bit of a natural in there as well. I really like those two. I don't know why.
Sometimes they can work together if you're right there when they're cutting the lawn, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Fresh grass smell. All right, nice. If you were famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I would love to be famous for maybe as an artist or a singer, because that's what I used to want to do when I was little. I know I should have said SEO and kind of advancements in the search space, but we'll just go with the more fun answer for that one.
All right. Good job. Have you ever kept a New Year's resolution? And if so, what was it?
I really don't think I have. I haven't made one in so many years. No, I really don't think I have. I'm rubbish with stuff like that. I think one of them was to get back into running, and that lasted for a couple of months, but no.
My next two questions are specific to where you went to university. I had a friend who went to university in the same town. He's fed me a little bit of information. So if anything here is horrifying, I apologize because I don't know what I'm talking about. All right.
That's funny.
First question was, were you a Florence Boot girl?
I was not. I went to Sherwood.
I don't know what any of that means. I know it was a dormitory, but that's
yeah,
all
yeah.
in
I know, I wish Florence Boot was the really nice one. It was really fancy, and I was in the worst one.
Ah, okay, I see. And so that one was called Sherwood?
Yeah, it wasn't the worst one. I don't want to kind of diss it there. But no, Florence Boot, we were all jealous of that one. It was really nice.
So when my friend went to university, I think he went to a different one in the same city, though. He said that that was like the all-girls dorm at that point. And he said he spent 3 years trying to get in there, but he's never seen the inside of it. So, and then he wanted me to ask, so he says, you probably remember going to Rock City, but do you remember leaving Rock City?
Amazing question. I was really hoping that one day I'd be on a podcast talking about Rock City and the times that were spent there. Leaving, yeah, sometimes, because we used to have kind of sports socials there. So those were the kind of bigger ones. But yeah, good times had, not that many remembered.
I need to check this place out. I'm a little interested.
I don't know if it's still as good as it used to be, but no. And there was another one, Ocean, if your kind of acquaintance knows of Ocean. That was the best one when I was there.
Aha, I will be sure to ask him about that. So I think, let's say his son is going there now. So
oh, great.
Yeah.
So
he went to Nottingham Trent?
Oh, yes.
And I think his son is going to the University of Nottingham.
Oh, so. Brilliant. Oh, he'll have so much fun. It's really good over there.
Oh, good. What was your first job?
My first job, I did some weird temping jobs for a while. One of them, I was a receptionist for a brewery distribution place. And mm-hmm. I also did some admin temp work for pharmaceutical administration and logistics. So very strange temp jobs, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just signed up to an agency and asked them to kind of look for me in a way. I wasn't that kind of, didn't have that direction as a teenager, I guess. But yeah, some weird jobs out there.
When you worked at the brewery, was there anything in particular that you liked or disliked about it?
I didn't really enjoy it because I'd never done receptionist work before, and people would call up and want me to transfer their calls, and I just had no idea. I had like a tiny list of numbers to transfer people to. I'd panic and then kind of send them to the wrong place, and I'd get people calling up, the same people, I recognize their voices, obviously not getting to where they wanted, them sounding disappointed that they'd reach me again on the reception desk, knowing that they were never going to get where they wanted to go. So that was quite a traumatic time for me, really. It didn't go well.
Dealing with people is the worst.
Amen.
Thank you for that. And now I want to go back and talk a bit more about your job at DeepCrawl. So you said you made this transition from creative to technical, and now it sounds like almost back to creative again. Tell me about what exactly it is that you do at DeepCrawl. What fills your day?
So my day is spent kind of split between more of our day-to-day content production. So when we listen in on the Google Webmaster Office Hours Hangouts with John Mueller, I'm usually taking notes on those when those happen. And then kind of product updates when something is launched on DeepCrawl, I'll help to work with the product team to communicate that, make sure the features in the best interests of our customers as well, feeding back information from our customers and the people who work, kind of use the tool back into product to make sure we're very customer focused. So that's more of the product side of things. And my main responsibility is kind of the long form content production. So I produce the white papers for DeepCrawl. I don't know if you're familiar with any of them. So I've done a couple now, one mobile first, one site speed, one international SEO, and working on another one at the moment. And that kind of really ties in because I did English at university. So writing those really does feel like I'm back at uni writing an essay. It's a lot of research, a lot of finding your sources, getting as much information as you can to make sure you're providing kind of a credible resource for people. And yeah, just writing it all up. And I'm actually at the moment, I've had to work from home a few days just to really lock myself in my flat and just get to writing, because it's at that kind of time where I'm just writing up all the notes I've made, yeah, to write up these long form pieces of content. And then alongside the writing side of things, I kind of split my time with going around and speaking at events. So kind of a lot of researching into what's happening in the SEO industry, latest updates, and communicating those, whether that's via a written piece of content or speaking at conferences.
So talking about these white papers, for example, what were some of the challenges when you were writing about the international SEO?
Yeah, so it was based on, it's one of those things that kind of came up a lot. When we like to talk to our clients about what they're struggling with in SEO, people just kept coming back and saying, international SEO, hreflang, it's so complicated. And then you compare that with kind of our client information, what they're telling us, and then you look at what Google's saying. So everyone normally references, when they're talking about international SEO in their talks and in their articles and things, they normally reference a tweet by John Mueller where he said, I don't know about you, but hreflang and international SEO is one of the most complex things about SEO out there. It's, I think you said, it's a lot like a meta tag, but it can go wrong really quickly. So it's just so complicated. I really wanted to, and me, over the past few years learning about it myself, I thought, this is a difficult topic, it's complex, so why not just get my teeth into this topic and actually just do the research and try and write about it in a meaningful way for other people, to kind of help other people learn a bit more and kind of help them, because I struggled with it when I started as well. So it's all about taking this more technical information and just trying to make it a bit more digestible for a wide audience base.
Sounds like a lot of work, but also it would have to be incredibly satisfying when you're finished with that, when you have this completed project and other people can utilize that as a resource. That has to be enormously satisfying.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. And the thing I like the most is when people come up to me and say, it doesn't happen all the time, just like a couple of people, but I'm counting that as a win, when they say this. So for example, the site speed one, people said, I think it was at Brighton SEO, they came up to me and said, this has actually helped me convey to my client and to my bosses the importance of making site speed changes. So it's actually helping SEOs actually just do their jobs, which is really valuable, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And this does seem to be an industry that likes to, you know, support each other a bit, and that certain findings tend to make their way around, and that seems really nice.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things is that I actually get to talk to kind of SEO experts in the space, and normally I'll ask for contributions from a good handful of experts out there to actually give their insights. So I also learn a lot from these people. I feel like they should kind of be writing the white papers, but at least I get to chat to them and hear their insights. That's really always very interesting as well, to work with them.
It's always fun when you can have knowledgeable people giving you quality feedback in order to make everything better for everybody, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to go ahead and move on now to our second round, which is a game of Have You Ever? If you would like to play the drinking game at home, of course you may.
I have got a glass of water with me, so yeah, that's wild.
Excellent. First one, have you ever spoken nonsense to someone hoping to confuse them from asking you more questions?
That's been a tempting one. I guess especially in client meetings from the SEO side of things, you kind of attempted to throw a bit of kind of canonicalization jargon at them so they don't keep prying into why this number one keyword that was ranking here is now here, you know, when they get quite granular into the details of keyword rankings. You kind of tempted to throw them off with a little bit of technical talk, but I normally try to avoid that. I think more my strategy would just kind of nod, just go quiet maybe until they get the message. I'm more of a quiet listener than just gonna like ramble at you until you leave. So it's a different take maybe there on the situation.
Oh, sure. But a little bit of the overwhelming somebody with jargon can be, it has to be a little bit of fun at times.
Yeah, it's really tempting, I must admit. I do want to do it sometimes.
All right. Have you ever planned a wedding or another big event?
I haven't planned a wedding, but I was the maid of honor at a wedding, and I had to do some organization. I had to write a speech and sort out some bits. So yeah, that was stressful. It all went fine though, and I didn't mess up my speech. I only cried a little bit during the speech, so it all went fine.
Oh, well, good, good. You didn't do that. Have too many glasses of wine to calm yourself down and then insult people thing?
There you go.
Maybe next time. Have you ever dressed up as a man or a male character for a costume party?
Yes, actually, I saw a nice bobble hat I liked on Etsy, and it was an Eric Cartman bobble hat from South Park, and I thought, this is going to make a great Halloween costume if I could put this all together. So yeah, I found an old red jumper, got the bobble hat, drew on some like cartoon buttons, got some like fake cartoon eyes. Then yeah, I went as Eric Cartman, the most despicable but wonderful of characters.
I was not expecting that one. All right, that's great. Have you ever put the wrong thing in the refrigerator?
Sometimes, yeah, in the morning when I'm getting confused and I've got kind of maybe my glasses in one hand, like the rest of the butter in the other. You know, things get swapped when you're going towards the fridge. It does. It happens to all of us.
Yeah, I found my wife's keys in the refrigerator once.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah.
Have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction?
Wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. So have you had like a shoe break or a shirt rip or a button fly off or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I have this one pair of shoes where the bottom of it just falls off sometimes when I'm walking, when I'm moving around. People are about to stop me in the street and say, oh, is this yours? I've seen this fall off your shoe. So I probably need to get a new pair of shoes perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, I'll take that on board.
Unless that's your way of meeting people.
I don't know if I'm quite that desperate to leave bits of my shoes around in order to get human interaction, but you know, it's a tip I might take on board. Thank you very much.
you're welcome. And you don't have to buy new shoes. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone wins.
Have you ever broken a bone?
I haven't, no. I've been very lucky. And it's one of those things I feel like I've gone through life without breaking one, and now I'm kind of scared it's going to be my turn soon. So fingers crossed, I never will.
Yeah, okay, I'll be rooting for you. How about stitches? Have you ever had to get stitches?
Again, I haven't had to have stitches. I feel really lucky. That's why I'm a bit paranoid in general that something awful is going to happen, because I've never had to have major surgery or anything like that. No broken bones, no stitches. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
So note to self, do not get into a car with you, because karma's coming. It's coming hard. Have you ever won a prize in a contest?
Yes. At school, I won a singing competition. That was fun. I liked that.
What song did you sing?
I sang No One But You from We'll Rock You.
Aha, okay.
I know that one. Yeah, it's one of the Queen ones. That was so much fun. But no, I don't really win things. I don't really normally go in for competitions. That meant a lot to me.
Oh, I bet. And our final question for the have you ever tried guessing somebody else's password?
Yeah, I think I had to. My mom, I think was driving or something, and I had to get into her phone to text like another family member we were meeting. And I think I just guessed like 0000 and got through. So very secure.
So you could hack both your mom and Kanye West. So that's pretty cool.
I can indeed, yeah.
Want to take just a moment here to see, hey, if you've been enjoying this podcast, you know what else you might like? Our newsletter. That's right. Elefate has a weekly newsletter delivered directly to your inbox. Please go to our website at www.elefate.com/contact. Of course, we are GDPR compliant. We just send you that great newsletter every week. So go ahead and sign up and you'll get updates about all the things we've done in the previous week. And of course, some previews to what's going to be coming up in the following week. And it looks fantastic. I think you'll enjoy it. So please sign up for the Elefate newsletter. And now back to Elefate in the Room. I wanted to talk a bit about public speaking, which you had mentioned a little bit before at the beginning. That's something that you do quite often. I've seen a couple of the videos that you've done. How did you get involved with that?
You can thank Jennifer Hoffman at Deepcrawl for that, because I had no experience, no desire to do it, but I'm quite an introverted person. I'm, like I said before, I'm a bit more, I'll sit back and listen. I'm not really a, hey, look at me, listen to what I'm saying. That makes me feel quite uncomfortable sometimes. I'd rather kind of take things in. But yeah, so when Jen first told me that I was going to go and do public speaking, I thought, great, it's a skill to be learned. It's going to really put me out of my comfort zone. I'll do my very best, but it was difficult in the beginning. I found it really quite unnatural to get up and talk in front of so many people. But she really helped me through, and I went to my first talk was actually at Affiliate Summit, yeah, in London. And I gave a talk about kind of the value of crawl data. And I was a nervous wreck. I could feel my voice kind of choking up and trembling. desperately trying to make the words sound confident and figure out what to do with my hands and stuff. But it's just, it's a learning process, and it's all about practice and just getting out there and doing it. And just getting out there and doing it. And then kind of thinking back to my last talk, I've definitely made improvements. I obviously have a lot more to learn, but I just feel like I can keep my voice shaking under control now. So that's really good.
It's always about finding that one thing to try to do better instead of trying to do everything better. I find that if you spread yourself too thin, then you're thinking of too many things and you're not really helping any of them. And so if you kind of focus on that one thing, like this time I'm going to do this thing the right way, or this one better, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's just focusing on, okay, last time I was tense, I'm just going to walk around the stage this time and just like relax into it rather than thinking about the actual words that are coming out of my mouth right now and things like that. Because once you relax physically, then you find yourself chatting more easily. And that's what the audience really want, don't they? They just want to hear a comfortable, relaxed person explaining things to them kind of in their own language, like a conversation, really, not just a person up on a stage reading out a script, because people are going to switch off.
Yeah, of course. You want to, obviously, you've got to find those ways to keep people engaged and while still giving good information. And I'm sure, especially when you're talking about a technical subject, that has to be a pretty tough row to hoe in not overwhelming with, let's say, you know, boring details while still at the same time being able to deliver something of value. That has to be pretty tough.
Oh, definitely. And I think my kind of passion to explain technical things in a more understandable way does go back to my roots of having absolutely no idea about technical SEO when I started, and having to really learn from nothing, really. I think when I first started my job, my first job doing SEO and content writing, I was given the Moz Beginner's Guide to SEO and told to just get on with it. There was no formal training. I know there isn't really that much formal training in the space, but I didn't really have that much support. So I really did have to learn from the ground up. And I think I want to help other people understand it. And I know I would have been kind of put off if everything was really technical. I felt like I couldn't grasp it. So that's why I really do want to make sure that I'm conveying things in ways that people can actually understand.
So that's is this something that you want to keep doing, or is this something you feel like you more of an occasional thing, or not going to keep up with it? What's kind of your plan in that particular sphere?
Yeah, I'd love to keep going with this. I think I found something I'm really enjoying doing, and I have a long way to go. It's not like I've done a few talks, I can tick that off the list and move on to something else. There's always ways you can improve with public speaking and putting across ideas towards people and things like that, and confidence levels as well. So I've got a really long way to go. I'm proud of myself where I've come from when I first started, but yeah, I've still got a long way to go, and I really want to keep just making technical SEO more accessible for people who might not naturally think they can do technical SEO, because I definitely, you wouldn't have put me in a bucket maybe of people who's really technical SEO. That's what you're going to do. You're going to learn about computer coding and programming and things like that on the side. So yeah, I want to make it accessible for more people, definitely.
Terrific. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. I know how challenging and also how rewarding that can be.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to go on to our third round, the Elevate Lightning Round. You're going to be given two choices. You can choose one or the other. If you would like to talk a little bit more about it, of course you can. If not, we'll move on to the next one. Our first question, cocktail party or pool party?
Cocktail party.
Do you not like pool parties, or do you just prefer the cocktail dress, the fancy, well, not fancy dress, because that's costume parties for you guys, but dress nice, I guess I should say. Smart.
Oh, right. I was thinking of like cocktails, like alcoholic cocktails. Is cocktail party a different thing in the States?
No, it's alcohol, but it's generally if you're having a cocktail party, people are a little more dressed up. Like there's the little black dress would be the cocktail dress.
Oh, yeah. Bit of class, bit of elegance. I'll stick with my answer, yeah.
Okay, good. Rachel Weisz or Rachel McAdams?
Rachel Weisz, love her. She's amazing.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl. It's impossible to wake me up in the mornings. I really struggle.
Elvis Costello or Lou Costello?
Elvis Costello.
Bears or monkeys?
Ooh, I'm going to go with bears. I think you can trust bears more. The little monkeys, you know, like the little monkeys and the macaques. I once went on holiday. I went to actually Gibraltar, the Rock of Gibraltar, and all the monkeys, they would just flock on you and like steal your bags and try and get everything that was your, just not ideal. bears. They're so much more chill.
Sure. So from famous University of Nottingham alum, D.H. Lawrence, The Rainbow or its sequel, Women in Love?
Actually, The Rainbow. I did a D.H. Lawrence module at uni and I had to do loads of essays on D.H. Lawrence. So I'm going to go with The Rainbow. That was one of the ones I wrote about in my final piece.
And are you a fan or did, was just basically a class that you had to take?
I wasn't before I took the course, but I think the way he writes about relationships and kind of class structures and things like that was really interesting. So I was really glad I took the module, but I haven't really done much reading about him since. But yeah, and my lecturer was so passionate about the subject. So yeah, I really enjoyed it at the time.
All right, great. Paintings or sculptures?
Paintings. I love painting. It's the best.
Do you paint?
I do, yeah. Not as much as I used to. At A level, I did art, fine art, so it was all about painting, really. And I don't get to do it as much as I'd like to anymore.
Do you have a particular painter that you're fond
of?
Yeah,
I love Georgia O'Keeffe. She's absolutely my favorite artist. I just love... one of my final pieces at school in A level when I did art was kind of based around Georgia O'Keeffe and the flowers she'd paint. Yeah, she was really talented.
Mm-hmm. London Grammar or Don Broco?
I'm going to have to say Don Broco because they went to my school.
They both did, actually.
Oh, did London Grammar go to my school?
Yep.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I'll stick with Don Broco because I didn't know that London Grammar went there, so that's awkward.
You know, you'll hear it from the Alumni Association, but not for me. I'm willing to let it go.
Yeah, I'm going to get a very stern letter if they ever hear this podcast.
I promise not to send it to them directly with a note or anything like that. I'm not.
Thank
that
you so much. Yeah, not that that'd be great.
Rockstar or race car driver?
Rockstar.
The Nottingham Arts Theatre or the Lace Market Theatre?
Nottingham Arts Theatre, because some of my friends used to do plays and stuff over there, so I'd go and watch them. I didn't really go to the Lace Market Theatre. I heard it was good, though.
Mm-hmm. They both looked interesting on the Wikipedia page. So. Vampires or werewolves?
Vampires. Where did you find this question? Do you think I love Twilight? Because there's actually a running thing where I did my dissertation on Dracula by Bram Stoker. And my tutor, I was talking about how I love the novel and wanted to write about it. And he said, oh, why don't you do a comparison between that and Twilight? And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I just wanted to walk out of that room. So yeah. I didn't know if somehow you'd done so much research, you kind of got inside that room and like knew what was spoken that day. That really threw me off that one.
I don't go to like creepy stalker levels to find out these things. So I mean,
I go
sure.
Back through my university records or something.
you know, sure. Of course, I spoke to all of your university professors and I spoke to your mom and your dad and, you know, this kind of thing.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Just doing your research. I understand.
But yeah, you got to do, it's just, you know, I'm a professional. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, of course.
How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees or Twist and Crawl by the English Beat?
I'm going to go with the Bee Gees.
All right. For our final question here, has today been Animal or Midland?
What? Sorry, I don't understand that question.
Oh, okay. I tried to find some Nottingham slang, and I was told that if something is animal, that means it's good.
Yeah, I thought I'd heard of middling, but I've never heard animal as referred to something being good before. I was rubbish with my slang at Nottingham because I'm from Bedford down south, mm-hmm. and then most of my friends were kind of from Yorkshire, so it was just all this different slang. I couldn't. That was only a few years. I couldn't take it all on board.
Okay. All right. Well, I figured I would try.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
I tried Brummy slang not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. I heard that on Luke Carthy's podcast. Yeah, that was very good.
That brings us to the end here. If you have any final thoughts or anything that you would like to promote to the audience, we would love to hear about it.
So I'd say to watch out for our latest white paper, which is coming out in December. And we've got some industry experts that have contributed to that, so I'd look out for that one. Yes, so we're hosting a webinar on November the 14th with JP Sherman, all about on-site optimization and kind of using site search data particularly to increase revenue conversions, things like that. So we're going to be recording that on the 14th, and then we're going to be writing a recap of that, putting it up on the blog, and you can find all of the recaps of our webinars. So we've had some with Tom Anthony of Distilled, and we've had some with Bastian Grimm of Peak Ace. So we've had some good guests. So if you just go onto the Deepcrawl blog and just go to the tag, which is webinars, you can find all of the different webinars we record over on there.
Thank you so very much for taking the time out of your day to speak with us. We really do appreciate it. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to speak to you. Have a good day.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.